It is time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to talk with Marshall Helmberger. He's the editor and publisher of the Timber Jay. That's a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Marshall, thanks for being back with us.
Oh, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, let's start off with a story that kind of changed placement during the week as the story changed. I know you don't like talking about stories where you are involved in them, but you are involved in this one.
That's for sure. Yeah, this actually, and we've talked about this before, you know, the criminal charges that were brought against the former mayor, Josh Carlson, and then the former city clerk treasurer, Linda Keith, surrounding their decision to remove me improperly from the city's Economic Development Authority, and then the former city clerk treasurer had falsified city records to make it look as if my term had expired, rather than that they had removed me midterm, which they weren't legally able to do under at least under state law. So, but anyway, this past week, the former mayor decided he was going to, you know, end the situation and plead guilty. So he did plead guilty to official misconduct, and you know, he because it was a first-time offense for him, he got off very lightly. They stayed adjudication of his case, which means if he doesn't you know, get in trouble here for the next year, they'll actually take it off his record, and then he was fined $50. And so, you know, it was kind of a slap on the wrist. And you know, this was fine. I mean, I didn't have a problem with this at all. The story would have been relegated to, you know, probably page three or four, you know, somewhere in the middle of the paper with a smallish headline, and that'd have been the last we would have heard of it. That is until midweek I decided, you know, because I wasn't at the court hearing because it was on the day we lay out our paper. And so I didn't really, had never heard what he actually said in court. And so I figured, well, you know, I should get a copy of the transcript. So we ordered a copy of the transcript. And when I opened it up and read it, I was shocked to see that he had, in his allocution, which is the statement that you know, people are supposed to make to the court, you know, spelling out what they did. He stated that that he basically accused me of having taken action without proper authority and without letting him know. And this this claim he made centered around my service on the Tower Economic Development Authority and surrounding a loan. It was actually a grant that then became a loan. This was, the money came from the IRRRB to TITA, and then we were loaning it out to a project in Tower that had had a funding gap. And, you know, and of course, Josh Carlson, the mayor, was fully aware of this from almost the first day after this meeting. And the council gave approval of it very early on. Within 2 weeks of the meeting, they had already passed a resolution in support. And TITA, I mean, I provided them monthly reports, you know, updating them on the progress in developing this funding, because it took, we had to do some due diligence, we had to develop loan guidelines, things like that, before we could actually get this funding from the IRRRB. And it took a few months to get that all in place. And when it all finally was done and the IRRRB had signed off, then the council passed a resolution accepting the funds. So, I mean, they knew about this money all the way along, and for them to, for him under oath, to state to the court that somehow I had done this without his knowledge or approval, that's just flat out wrong.
So the kind of slap on the wrist he got maybe will be a little larger after this.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, at this point, it's not clear whether the court's going to reopen the situation. I did provide a substantial amount of documentation to the county attorney. They were actually concerned about this as well. The problem was the person who had been handling the case was actually called out the day of the hearing on another matter, and so it had a substitute person from the county attorney's office who wasn't familiar with the case and just, you know, didn't object to anything. And you know, normally, I think had the regular prosecutor been in there, she would have objected to this, and none of this would have been entered into the court record. So it was just kind of a fluke that this even got in there. But at this point, you know, I know that the county attorney is planning to address this possibly with the judge, and we'll see what the judge decides to do.
Okay.
But it could possibly come back up, or they might just say, well, water over the bridge. So we'll find out.
Okay. So that has to do with the former mayor. The former clerk treasurer has not pled guilty.
Not yet, no.
Okay.
There's a hearing next Friday. The former clerk treasurer's attorney has filed a motion to dismiss, which is pretty routine in these kinds of cases. It's unlikely that the case would be dismissed against her, but there'll be a hearing for oral arguments on that.
Okay. Well, that leads us to kind of a new era for the city of Tower. A new city clerk treasurer is there. What do you know about her so far, and what are you thinking for the future?
Well, so far, she is getting rave reviews in Tower, I can tell you that. This new clerk is named Victoria Ranawa, and she actually worked as the land manager for the Metawakaton down in Shakopee for a number of years, and she's very experienced in, you know, sort of administrative procedures. And it's really showing right away. And one of the things that she's brought to it's been a big change. Number one is she's very transparent about how she operates. I mean, if you make a data practices request or you want information, she's responsive immediately and completely open. The biggest thing, I think, for the council is going to be just the way that she is going to be handling items that come before the council on the agenda. Every single item will have in the future now, in fact, did at their first meeting this week, they come with an extensive memo which has, you know, background on the item, you know, any individuals or parties who are involved, any discussions, you know, any investigation that were done by the clerk's office, you know, relevant statutes that might come into play. You know, so they're going to be getting very detailed information about every single item. In the past, most of the time, the council here, especially under the former city clerk, they had no idea what they were voting on half the time. They had no background, very little briefing papers. They didn't get any information until they arrived at the council meeting, whereas now these memos that will go out with they'll go out with the agenda 3 or 4 days ahead of meetings. So by the time council members arrive, they're going to be fully briefed on all of the matters that they're expected to decide. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge change. And I know the current council had been asking for some time to get information in advance, you know, with the former clerk treasurer, and she had always just refused, said, no, there's no way she could do that. Well, obviously, the new clerk has found a way very quickly to accomplish that task. So, it really is a night and day difference here.
Well, and that makes the ability of local media easier to report on this, which is then people can know more about what's going on in their local government. So
exactly. This is a real breath of fresh air.
That's great. All right, before we go, let's talk a little bit about small game hunting and grouse hunting. How are numbers? How are things going?
Yeah, well, so far, from what I'm hearing, actually, the numbers of grouse out there seem to be pretty decent. The thing that is really declining, however, are the number of hunters, particularly the number of young hunters, and that's really been an issue, and I know it's one that the DNR is concerned about. A lot of sportsmen's groups are also concerned about it. What I thought was interesting is the DNR released some information here just this week that only 67,765 grouse hunters went out last year in search of grouse. And I mean, that's the lowest number in the 40 years since the DNR started conducting this survey. You know, this is Minnesota is the number one state in the country for grouse hunting, and it's in the past, I mean, you were talking over 100,000 hunters a year going out, and so this is a big decline, and, you know, of course, it has impacts across the board. It has impacts on local economies when you don't have hunters, you know, who are coming out to, you know, forested parts of the state. And, of course, as they did that, you know, they'd be buying gas and, you know, getting lunch at a local cafe and those kinds of things. So, those impacts are diminishing. It also affects, of course, you know, habitat spending because, you know, the DNR relies a lot on on hunting and fishing licenses to fund habitat work. And, you know, they're really just seeing that it's, especially these small game licenses, really seem to be falling off. And that's usually that entry level for young hunters. You know, before you go out and hunt deer, generally, you know, I know that was certainly the case with me. I mean, my introduction was, you know, hunting grouse and maybe squirrels, things like that. And, you know, so when young hunters aren't introduced to small game hunting, you know, the chances that they're going to become deer hunters or, you know, any other kind of hunting really diminishes. And, you know, in the last 18 years, they've seen a 32% decline in small game license sales. So that's very dramatic. And that trend does not appear, it does not appear that it's leveling out at all. In fact, the trend line looks like it's just, you know, falling right through the floor. So there's a lot of concern about this and what the future holds. You know, and the other thing, too, I'd mention, it's not just about hunting. It's about, you know, for a lot of people, the interest that they develop in wildlife in general, and it's all kinds of wildlife. You know, in many cases, they're first exposed to that and start to appreciate wildlife through experiences like hunting. And, you know, I know that was certainly the case with me. And I know it is with many other hunters. And so, you know, this change, this trend, not only affects interest in hunting, but could just, you know, affect the overall interest that society has in protecting wild places, you know, and natural habitat. So it's definitely a concerning trend.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, we continue to get more and more schools who are sending us phenology reports from all across the state. So I hope that, and sometimes they're reporting on their hunting, and we're doing our best to, I refer to our daily dose of phenology as kind of a prescription that might get people out there, because you know a little bit as you're going around your busy day and might pay attention a little bit more. But it is troubling, and the DNR doing things like for this MEA weekend, kids getting out can hunt for without a license, right, with their parents? I mean, kids don't.
Right, yes, yeah. Yep. With they can get out there and hunt for the 4 days of the MEA weekend. And it's a good opportunity, and hopefully kids will take advantage of that. And I think it's kids 10 or under 12, I think, can hunt without a license. Over that, I think they do need to get a license, but you might want to just check the DNR rule book on that.
Okay.
Don't take my word for that.
Okay. That sounds great. We need some brilliant minds on this. We need kids to be outside, don't we?
We sure do. Yep.
That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, we'll check in next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.